Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Hello, Pastor Kevin.
Good Tuesday. Oh, now it's afternoon. I was going to say morning. It's like
four minutes into the afternoon.
Yeah, it's been a good morning.
Yes.
I do enjoy Tuesday mornings as our staff meeting.
Yeah.
And so we sit together and talk about life and pray for each other. And then we work through ministry issues. And and then I get to sit down with you and I sit down with Nicole and we have a personal time together.
Great interactions.
Good stuff.
People.
Yeah. Yeah, we get to have that.
It's good.
We're not isolated.
No.
Thankfully. And we're sitting at a table that's pretty close to 6 feet.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you're,
you know.
Yeah. If your ruler's shorter.
Right. Yeah. I was just reading somewhere something about how we measure and, you know, a little kid that told his mom, I'm 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And well, let me see your ruler. And it was, you know, just under half a foot, his ruler. So, but mom, I'm six feet.
It was the 6-incher one. Yeah.
Right?
The little short ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 12 of those. I'm 12 feet. No. Awesome. Yes. We talked a little bit about the whole idea of going deeper.
Yeah.
In our series of higher, wider, deeper on Sunday, we focused in a little more on that part of it. And I found it was a lot of personal stuff that went with it. I don't know. It's hard to talk about going deeper with the Holy Spirit and not drag your own personal journey into the story.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and I hope it didn't come across like it's all about me. I was hoping that I was very careful not to have that because it really truly is all about him.
That's right.
And he is guiding us along the way. And even in the sermon, I didn't put as much emphasis. I went back and listened to it. I don't always do that, but this time I did. And because I was a bit disappointed that I didn't point out more clearly that in Ezekiel's vision, it was all someone led him, a man, a nameless man, led him to the river.
Right.
First led him to the temple where he saw this river flowing and then led him to the river and then led him across each time.
Right.
And then led him into, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Mm-hmm. And then he told them about all the stuff that was happening and where the water was going and how life was taking place because of this river. It was all done by the person leading him. And I didn't, afterwards, I kind of thought, you know, if you don't include that as part of it, is maybe I fell down in terms of making sure that that was really clearly noted. It does sound a little bit like it's my journey.
Right.
I'm the one who crosses here. I'm the one who, you know, does all this stuff. I'm the one who's listening, or I'm, you know, it can become a little bit more me focused. And I kind of felt like I probably dropped the ball a little bit there. I should have had more openness towards this person who is unnamed.
Right.
But I think it's easy to figure out who he is.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you can very quickly draw parallels between the man and the man who was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
There's a man in there. And then later on, we find out the man is Jesus. You know, it's not, I don't think it's a hard concept to, you know, the angel of the Lord idea.
Right.
So I think it's easy enough to discover that it was Jesus who even said it was him who was going to send the Spirit.
That's right.
And that whole journey of Ezekiel and that vision is all about this man introducing the Spirit.
Right.
It's because that's where life is.
Yeah.
So I did feel a little bit like I didn't quite pull that off as much as I'd like to have. but it was still, I thought it was still very interesting, the study of it.
Yeah. You know, what stood out to me really throughout was that idea that, you know, it was little by little that Ezekiel was led through this river, first through his ankles, then to his knees, then his waist. And how amazing it is that God knows where we're at. He knows how much we can handle. And he does take us progressively further and further in, but he doesn't just throw us in the deep end, like you said, and say, swim. But just this amazing progression that as we grow, as we learn more, he takes us deeper and deeper, but he knows when, where, how, why, to do it so that it's done in a way that is beneficial to us and doesn't overwhelm us. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't stick that fire hose right in our face and just let her rip.
Yeah. No, I that would be clear even how Jesus handled his disciples.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine every single day of your life hanging out with Jesus for 3 years?
Yeah.
But it progressed.
That's right.
It was never too much, too quickly.
Right.
Too deep. He was always almost, it seemed like he was almost always at the surface with these guys because they were slow to learn. Right. And I think that's just God's grace.
Yeah. Right? I mean, he went to a wedding. He celebrated a wedding, went to a party with them to start things out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was where he started. That's pretty light.
Right.
You know, a wedding feast and had some fun there. So he started out pretty light. And at the same time, he did something that caused his disciples to believe in him, to see him as unusual or unique by turning the water into wine. You know, that's why he did it.
Yeah.
So he would glorify himself in their midst.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's this, I think I agree with you. There's this beautiful kind of take me by the hand and walk me along the life.
Yeah.
And the man in this Ezekiel 47 vision did that, led him along, led him from the place where he was to the temple and then along the river and crossing the river and then back to the beginning of it where he said, now I want to show you some things.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get this beautiful sense of a guided tour.
Yes. Yeah.
And crossing at exactly the right time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird. At first I thought, why are the measurements in here?
Right.
1,500 feet exactly cross.
Yeah.
But then you go back and you think, oh, the measurements are important because at the right place, at the right time, the right depth, he led him across.
Mm-hmm.
How perfect is that?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, there's something really beautiful about it. You know, even the New Testament talks about being changed into the likeness of Christ in a sort of a glory to glory, step by step process. And I think that the Holy Spirit is gracious to us that way. And the Lord is good to us, man.
Definitely. Mm. I think of this time that I was in youth group. So probably grade 11 or grade 12, probably grade 11. It was probably the summer. We had, as a youth group, gone to a beach somewhere in Texas. And there was a youth pastor and one other girl. They're like, we're going to go and we're going to swim out to the sandbar.
Mm.
And they were like, you want to come? Now, inside, I knew I wasn't a strong swimmer, but I'm like, I can do it.
It's not too far.
Oh, man. I didn't make it.
Oh, you didn't?
I had to turn back, and part of me is surprised I made it back to shore.
Right.
I was exhausted, and I was like, oh, I did not know my limits. I thought more highly of myself than I ought. And it just brings to mind, like, Jesus never calls us to do that. He never... you know, say, okay, go swim further than I'm going to equip you to swim.
Right. Mm. That's really a good illustration. Who hasn't swum further than they think they should?
Right.
Definitely true. I had a similar kind of thinking. You sparked a memory in my head too about New Zealand. We were out with my cousin and his family, and we were on one of those bananas. You know, those water bananas? You can ride these big, long, yellow banana boats or whatever they're called. I'm not sure what they're called. And it was being pulled by the Sea-Doo. And the Sea-Doo flipped over. So then, you know, finally got it started again.
Right.
But it was, I couldn't get back up on this thing. I was too deep in the water.
Oh, no.
It was way out in the middle of the bay out in Auckland. And so I just, just go ahead. I'm, you know, I can see the shore. I'll make it. I swam for about an hour.
Oh, no.
An hour of swimming, and the current, unbeknownst to me, like I was a prayer boy, right? I didn't know there was a current in the ocean. I didn't know that there was like
something pulling you out
in a different direction
from the shore.
Oh yeah. So I'm swimming towards what I thought was the shore where everybody was,
right?
And before I knew it, I was way down the the, like, there's a long road that goes along the bay front. And I ended up probably about a 2 kilometer walk away from where everybody was. from the point where I started swimming towards the shore, I was about drifted that far away.
Wow.
So then I finally got there, and it was such a hot day. And I had to walk back in bare feet on the paved highway.
Oh, no.
So I started feeling my feet are getting so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, by accident, I guess I stepped on the white line that was on the side of the road, you know, the parking line.
Oh, yeah.
And that white line was cool.
Oh.
So I spent the whole way walking, making sure every footprint landed on that white line. Otherwise, my feet would have been just burning. So what an experience. But I don't know why I told you that. Anyway. Nope. Swimming more than you think you,
yes.
you know, deep, taking on more than you think you are is actually a dangerous thing.
Right.
You know, now thankfully I'm a pretty good swimmer, so I don't think I was too freaked out about the swim itself.
Right.
But I was definitely about the current, taking me away. And I couldn't control that. It was too deep. You know, I mean, we're out in the middle of a bay. Then I had a few thoughts of, wow. And then somebody afterwards told me that there were sharks in the bay. And I'm like, really? Oh, man. It was like a little lamb out there.
Lunch.
A little seal out there ready for a, you know, clump. Anyway, it didn't matter. Couldn't see it anyway. Yeah. Wouldn't have seen it coming.
Right.
Yep. And nobody would have known I was gone for a while. Because I was way out there. Silly.
But then, you know, we also think about the opposite of, you know, Christ also doesn't want us just to stay in the kiddie pool.
No, that's right.
Yeah. You think of kids in swim lessons, they're always wanting to jump in
to go deeper.
The big pool. They all want to, when can we get out of the, out of the kiddie pool? Let's go in the real pool.
Yeah.
And so I think that's also
a danger.
A danger is that we get comfortable in the shallow end and we never are willing to be led deeper and further.
Yeah, definitely. I think the point of Sunday was to awaken. Maybe that's the best word.
Yeah.
This knowledge that what I have experienced in God may be absolutely fantastic and wonderful.
Yeah.
It may not be, because you can still have some pretty rough experiences
with
God. Because he's not safe.
That's right.
You know, I like that line from Aslan. From Chronicles of Narnia. He's not safe, but he is
good.
So you don't always get a wonderful, warm, fuzzy feeling. Right. But I think what ends up happening is you're right. We become satisfied. If you know, you, like I was mentioning on Sunday, there comes into your life a holy dissatisfaction. And you have to use that word carefully, because Jesus did say you would be satisfied and never thirst again. But the fact is, I don't think that he's trying to hold us in a spot as much as he's saying that you come from a place of satisfaction because you are saved. You know the life of God. But then there's a dissatisfaction in that there is more to this.
There's always more,
And so I think that's a good way, a holy, H-O-L-Y, dissatisfaction. And I think that is part of what the Alliance calls the process crisis. Now, I think they call it something new now. I got those words stuck in my head. But it is definitely a journey with a crisis.
It is.
Like, it doesn't have to mean, like, you hear, I think the reason why they changed it, because crisis has like an
earthquake, midlife crisis.
Right, midlife crisis, you know, which it could be, I guess. But I think it is more to do with a crisis of soul, a crisis of spirit, of a keen awareness of your lack, you know, in any given situation. Like COVID has done wonderful things in terms of exposing our shallow end.
Oh, I think so.
When it's time when we should be a little deeper, and we're finding that we're struggling even just with isolation, or we're struggling with, you know, following the rules the way they've been given to us by the government. And the scripture says, follow the rules that the government makes, So you buck that, and you think, well, you know, why am I like that? Why am I so rebellious? You know, why is that inside of me? And I think you have to deal with it. And I've come to the decision, the scripture says, whatever is done of faith is good, and whatever is not of faith is sin. So you can make your own decisions, but you need to come at them from a place of faith.
Right.
That this is what you believe is what God is asking you to do.
Absolutely.
And so you do it.
Yeah.
Right. And so even some of these pastors who are breaking the rules and not following anything and getting into trouble.
Right.
You know, the thing is, from the outside looking in, it looks like they're being rebellious. But on the inside, they may be acting out of faith. They may be trusting Christ in the midst of their journey. And, you know, you got to kind of watch, well, how do you get there?
Right.
you know, it can get a little dicey when you start to twist scripture to try and get your way. But I think at the same time, the fact is, it's not just that. It's the whole mentality of people. and the fear, mm-hmm. like dealing with fear. Come on, let's deal right. with this fear. Yeah. Are you really afraid of COVID? Mm-hmm. Are you really afraid of what's happening?
Yeah.
How much of your life is in your hands, mm-hmm. and how much of it do you have you actually given to right. God?
Yeah.
You know, and your business or your job or your, right. you know, your career, yeah. like how many of those things are actually in God's actual hands? Mm-hmm. And this is now a time when he's saying, give it to me.
Right. Trust me with
trust me with this, yeah. that I can work this out for good. He can work all things out mm-hmm. for good for them who love God yeah. and are called according to his purpose mm-hmm. in changing us in the likeness of Jesus. So, right. you know, the outcome is actually pretty good
right.
when we follow his promptings.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. You know, I definitely find any day that they're expecting an announcement from specifically the premier about restrictions. Yeah. I find, you know, I have to battle against a certain amount of anxiety. Mm. And so like, even today, I know like later today, they're probably going to come out with an announcement. And so what is that going to look like?
Right.
And, you know, what if they don't open things up? What if they make things stricter? What if they come up with another reason why they can't open? And, mm-hmm. but I've got to stop myself and say, who is really in control here mm-hmm. and who really is at work mm-hmm. in and through all of this?
Mm-hmm. Where is he?
Yeah.
In the midst of all of this. And if the change doesn't happen the way I want it to, mm-hmm. does that mean he's not there? No, he's
absolutely
there.
Not.
He's
yeah.
there. He's mm-hmm. in the midst, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the midst of the fire.
That's right.
He's in the midst of the storm. Yeah. He is there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, their cries they were being thrown is, even if we are burned.
Yeah.
Even if we are killed today. Mm-hmm. You know, even if restrictions stay in place, even if things are locked down, even if it goes to the extreme of becoming a tyranny, like some people are afraid that it might be, mm-hmm. even if, so what? Mm-hmm. So what?
Mm-hmm. My God is able to deliver me.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of that.
Yeah, that's right.
So if I have that, you have to be careful. It doesn't become fatalistic.
Right.
But it is real yeah. that he mm-hmm. really, truly is in control, mm-hmm. and I still have to keep my wits about me.
Right.
Like in an ARC situation, if you want to write your MP or you want to write your MLA, you do that.
Right.
You can participate.
Sort of society. Yeah.
Exactly. Participate as much as mm-hmm. you can.
Right.
And as often as you want to.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's all part of it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, even that has to come from faith. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not from faith, as scripture says, it is sin.
Right.
So it must come from faith, and it mm-hmm. must follow the scripture. Like, that is really crucial. Mm-hmm. Not manipulating the scripture right. to make it say what you want it to say
right.
so that you can do what you want to do, but really actually following the scripture. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a crucial way that we are a testimony of God's grace. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I do agree that, you know, we do try to kind of control our own destiny that way. But if we just say, okay, Father, I trust you in the yeah. midst of this. And I'm going to be me. I'm going to just be your faithful light in the mm-hmm. midst of all this darkness.
Yeah.
Show kindness and love and gentleness to people who are mm-hmm. suffering and afraid.
Yeah.
Because we are like sheep, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we're all a bunch of sheep, so we do have fears.
Yeah.
Sheep are easily afraid. We were joking this morning about those goats mm-hmm. who
right, the fainting goats.
Yeah, where you boo and they just go into right? the stiff moment. They hit the ground like they're dead. Yeah. So, you know, we don't have to be afraid,
no.
you know, but we are sheep. And so we do have to deal with our fears. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why someone told me that there's more than 365 fears in the Bible, because God knew that we'd need at least one every day. Mm. And I thought that's actually a pretty good way to think.
Yeah.
You know, he does make lots of promises about our fears mm-hmm. and that he will meet us in the midst yeah. of those. And I think that's another reason why you want to grow. I think you don't want to be caught off guard in your growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it would be a little bit like asking a toddler who's barely learning how to ride a tricycle. Mm-hmm. Okay, drive the car.
Right.
You know, because you have to, you know, it's just too much.
Right.
Right. So, but if you're at a toddler stage and you're learning how to ride a bike, well, that's a good stage. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to be able to say, have I accomplished the stage I'm in? Great. Because mm-hmm. you don't like to ride your tricycle your whole life.
No.
You want to move on to right. two wheels, you yeah. know, and then maybe even a motorcycle. Right. And then from there, who knows? So there's a progression insight.
Yeah.
And I think you are naturally prone to growing into those other things. And you don't want to stunt your growth.
That's right. Yeah.
So God calls us gently and kindly and in his mercy. And sometimes he kicks us in the butt, even, right? Which isn't a gentle kindness, but it's still for our good discipline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that we can know and grow in a harvest of righteousness. And I'm a firm believer that I think there's way too much stagnant life in Christian churches in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was spoken to, and I never drew this out as much in the sermon because of time,
mm-hmm.
but I was really spoken to by the fact that the water of that river flows into the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then in one of the translations, the Amplified, it says the stagnant waters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
So much of that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Too much stagnation.
Yeah. Mm. And we need more of the Spirit.
Mm.
We need the Spirit moving and developing Christ in us.
Yeah.
And that's, this past Sunday was Pentecost. That's,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Yep.
It's the Holy Spirit coming.
Holy Spirit come.
And, you know, we've entered into this 40 days of fasting.
Yeah.
As a church, and really seeking to stand in God's presence,
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, God, what are you doing? What do you want to do in me?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to develop in me? What do you want to develop in our church?
Yeah.
So that we can be better equipped to reach our neighbors and loved ones with the gospel.
Yeah. Fasting is a great way. Good posturing.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you in a posture of receptivity.
Yeah.
It opens your hands because
mm-hmm.
you haven't got any much energy to do anything else.
Right.
Even getting your words in the right row is right. tough for me sometimes. My brain isn't quite working.
Yeah.
So I do believe that the fasting part of the Christian journey is so important. I love what one person put online. I never knew what fasting was, but now that I know it, I'm totally into it, or something like that. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm loosely quoting. But it was just so refreshing to see that someone who's been only a new Christian maybe for 3 years or mm-hmm. so, but discovering the beauty of taking time in solitude and fast and prayer and skipping
right.
a meal so that you can spend that time there in those times with Jesus. And yeah, good. It's a good thing to do. And I'm glad. I don't know who all's joining in. I don't
right.
know the numbers, but I don't,
sure.
in that sense, I don't really care. I mean,
no.
I hope there's lots.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's more just the experience and drawing away, pulling away
mm-hmm.
from normal life.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to draw near to the Lord and
that's right.
be led by him, constantly changing, transforming us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who is a perfect image to mm-hmm. try and strive for.
Yeah. Mm. I was reading some of A.B. Simpson, the Alliance founder.
Yeah, good old.
One of his books.
Good old Abe.
And he was talking about, sanctification and growing in maturity. And he compared it to kind of when Jesus came, he was born as a baby,
mm-hmm.
but he matured. And he became, toddler, young adult man.
Yeah.
And the way he put it is like, it's, when we're sanctified, we are filled with Christ
mm-hmm.
and he comes in as a baby, but he matures.
Mm.
And so that's an interesting way, just something I've been tossing around in my head, thinking about that way. You know, we're given all of Christ.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't hold back.
No.
He's not like, oh, you only get this part of me. But we don't reach full we don't automatically reach full maturity.
Right.
We grow into the image of Christ. We grow into his likeness. We could become more and more like him as he is developed in us.
Right.
And that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, it is actually. It's a great way.
That it isn't that we're not given less of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's just that we mature in it as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really clear kind of illustration
because
he comes in as a baby and he matures.
Mm-hmm.
And his, relationship is changing, right? I mean, your relationship with a baby changes as it grows.
Right.
You maybe don't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
But you stop doing the coo, coo, coo when they turn 12.
Right.
Otherwise, you get a smack in the mouth.
Right, yeah.
Don't talk to me like that.
Right. Yeah, I tell our kiddos, our young one, you've got to let me hold you forever.
Yeah, no.
And it's, we're knowing that at some point that's going to end.
Right.
But
maybe not so much with the girls.
Yeah.
Although they still, they've got a man now. They got someone to hold them. So they don't need me to hold them anymore.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Right. Well, I was challenged and encouraged. I love that passage in Ezekiel. I love that the message that the Lord shares through him.
Yeah.
And just that encouragement, that challenge. There's always more.
There's always more.
There's always more. Mm.
Next week, we go to Isaiah 6. And we're going to look at him in the throne room and how when we go higher and when we go deeper, mm-hmm. the outcome is wider.
Wider.
Yeah. That's where we're going Sunday.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.